Welcome to the Wake Up Podcast. I am so excited that you're here. Listen, these podcasts are best listened to in the morning because we are waking up not only our bodies from sleeping, but we're waking up our minds, we're waking up our focus, we're waking up our calling, and we are following the breadcrumbs that God has left for us throughout the day over our life to tell us exactly what to do next. So stop saying that you don't know what to do. Stop feeling overwhelmed. Stop living in the valley and start walking into your calling. So I'm so excited you're here. Welcome to the show. So thank you for being here. And I was honestly thrilled when you sent me a message because God has been telling me for the last couple of months that I need to interview people on my podcast. And I've thought about it and I'm like, okay, God, you know, I'm going to do that. I'll reach out to a few people. I made a list of a few people that I really wanted to hear their story and have them on here. And then I really just drug my feet. And one thing that I heard from a missionary one time is that she said that she prays and tells God, if you want me to do something, place it right in my lap and I'll know it's from you and just give it to me. And I started praying that in general. And you popped up in my DMs and were like, I connect with your podcast and I have a similar story and I want to share. And God's just telling me to reach out to you and you wanted to be on the show. And so I instantly was like, okay, God, I can't ignore this. Obviously, you want me to have her on here. And you were the first of three people that week that had messaged me saying similar things. So I'm like, okay, I guess we're going to do this because I want people to know that are listening to this, that we're pretty much all the same. You know, some people have this idea that if you're out there doing big things, you're writing books, you're creating studies, you're, you know, living in abundance, that you must be this freak of nature or you're this one-off or wow, I wish I could be like her. And really, we're all the same. We all have the same fears. We all have the same doubts. We all think like, am I doing this right? Is this not enough? Should I do more? No, we all have the same things. And I love hearing other people's stories because it proves that. It's not just me on one side saying, come on, guys, live in your purpose, live in your calling. It's easy. I want people to see that it's hard and it's scary and what we've all had to overcome in order to live in the light and live in abundance. And once we get that figured out, then we're walking in our calling where we're really making a huge difference. And it seems like with your story, that's exactly what you've gone through. And now you've turned that into a message where you're able to impact the lives of so many people. So everyone, this is Jen Jones, my new friend.
Yes. Hi. Oh my gosh. Here.
Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm so honored and I'm listening to you dying because one, I don't think that, I mean, we've messaged back and forth a little bit, but I didn't know, obviously, that that's what you had been, the conversation that you and the Lord had been having about, you know, and for me, on my side, there was a similar conversation about putting myself out there with people that I resonate with, but that I do not know and do not know me. And I have come to a place in my life that I'm just like, listen to Jesus and do what he says, which is sometimes, well, not sometimes, almost always a little uncomfortable because it's usually counterintuitive, countercultural, and can maybe even come off slightly weird.
Yeah.
So even like finding you on Insta and then messaging you, there's a part of me that before you push send is like, what am I doing? Why would I do this? Who cares? You know, the whole, who do you think you are, Jen? This girl is going to be like, what? Probably not respond anyway. I mean, these are the thoughts. These are the, this was my internal dialogue of, and then what do you think you have to say? And like, if she was interested, she would have probably found you. Like, why are you like, this is bold. And again, it's just all, this is a lot, Jen, you're too much. Okay? So, So internal dialogue happening on my end. I just think that it, I know that you are, part of your mission is helping women live and lead their lives with confidence to mm-hmm. fulfill their calling and through community. So we do need each other. So there's a part like, I gotta put myself out there. And then what you are hearing from God is maybe you need to bring people in, you know, just this whole thing. And we were total strangers. So interesting.
I love hearing that you have all of those imposter syndrome thoughts, even though you've achieved a lot. So you're not someone who just decided, okay, I'm going to show up on Instagram and do this thing. You've been doing this a lot and you've accomplished a lot of things. Your followers, you have 27.7 followers, which we know followers aren't everything, but we tend to look at people on Instagram and think, oh, wow, they're so much better than me. They have so many more followers, or they must have it all together. And it's crazy to think that when we had 100 followers, we felt the same as when we had 1,000 and 10,000 and 20,000. You feel the same. So when you see people that have this huge following and they've achieved a lot and they've made it, they still have those imposter syndrome thoughts of who in the world do I think I am? And let me just tell you guys a little bit about Jen, and we're going to hear her story. So, okay, Jen, there's a lot here. She's achieved a lot. Okay. So Jen is the founder and CEO of Jen Jones Direct LLC and creative architect of the Significant Conference, which I want to talk to you more about that. And so through her books and courses, conferences, and significant life groups, she equips and empowers women to create the life they love on the foundation of faith. Now you guys know why I had her on. Jen and her husband, Marcus, are living this great adventure with their 4 children in San Diego, California. And Jen knows what it's like to experience the unexpected when 19 years ago, she welcomed her first daughter with a birth diagnosis of Down syndrome. She embraced the unknown and has become an advocate for all people to belong. She helps families identify their core values and champions women to know and own their God-given worth to live a life of significance. She is also a certified health coach. She's built a nationwide health and wellness business, and she guides people on a path to help them take control of their health, which includes mentally, physically, and spiritually. She's really in the personal transformation business. And she's appeared as a speaker and coach in numerous conferences, retreats, and podcasts, including ABC Family and the Live Out Loud Show. She is also the author of Thrive, Growing Through Life's Greatest Challenges, Tribe, Building Your Family on What Matters Most, The 5-Minute Marriage Mentor, and her upcoming book, Divinely Different, Creating a Significant Life When the Way is Unexpected, Unwanted, and Unknown, which is coming out May 20th. Right? That is so soon. And tell me more about this book. When did you first get the idea that you needed to write this book?
September of 2022. So 6 months ago.
Tell me what that was like.
It was a moment on my sofa. So I have a spot. I have found for me an incredible discipline that has also actually become a place of solace is to sit on my sofa. I do it in the mornings because, well, my kids are teenagers and they're getting themselves ready. So, and I'm an early riser, so I'm usually up about an hour before them anyways. And I sit on my sofa, and sometimes it's simply that, it's sitting. And sometimes it's like diving through a devotion. It always includes journaling. But it's just sort of this space that I have grown into. So I don't want to make it sound like, oh, I mean, it started with 5 minutes. It started not that like consistent, but I am just in a season of life that it is more possible and I have grown to crave it. So I was just sitting there on my sofa and I didn't have a lot of words that morning. And I opened up my journal because I'm like, well, I'll process, like, maybe I'll just start writing. And it would not audibly, but in that still small voice, like in my heart, I heard, Jen, it's time to write another book. And I just wrote that down because I have learned to listen to Jesus and do what he says. Now, it's not that that goes without question or without like, wait, what? And honestly, I didn't, that was not a part of my plan for the upcoming year. It hadn't even occurred to me, honestly. So, but I have this rear view mirror of faith. And I think that's what enables me to keep pushing send on random messages, even though, right? Even though I have the inner dialogue that I think a lot of people do, a lot of women do, this inner dialogue that sometimes is doubt or, you know, dismissing dreams or all of the things that I shared. I do have a history that I can often look back on and go, he delivered last time. Well, actually, when I pushed send before, it created this connection. Or, oh, actually, when I obeyed him, he actually provided beyond what I was expecting. So, so that's why I wrote it down and then sort of sat there like, okay, tell me more. All right, I will, but tell me more. And every time I've written, it has actually, I haven't always known what I was going to say. It's not like I've had this full plan, but he has always guided and directed my steps. And it has been transformative in my own faith walk and my own faith journey. Cause you kind of have to take a deep dive on yourself and the things that between you and Jesus and his word, to write. So it's always been a good inner work that he has done in me. And then it's just been a part of his call on my life to use my voice. And so I was like, okay, I will, but tell me more. And then sure enough, God in his faithfulness, not immediately, but begin to direct my steps, begin to connect me with the people that I needed to help me put this work out in the world. So that is sort of what the process was like. I know you have written too. So, you know, it's a process. And it this time, I think it just looked like obedience. And it was actually a delight because one thing I have learned is that I am worthy, not because of the works that I do. So I am worthy because I'm his, yeah. Because who I am and who I belong to. So this work was a delight for me. This book was actually a delight because when I knew God asked me to do it. So I'm like, okay, so either way, whatever, come what may. Mm-hmm. He wanted these words put out through my voice for someone, and that is enough. That is enough.
Yeah, and it's just saying yes.
Saying yes.
So many of us tend to focus on the top of the mountain of the end instead of just, okay, yes, and I'm going to rely on you to reveal the next step. And we say no because we feel like we're doing it all alone. And I don't know how to write a book and I'm not an author. And I barely even passed English class and I don't know what I'm doing. And we think about ourselves and it's not about ourselves. And I love the story of Moses that I think all the time that he was not a good speaker. He had a stutter or he was nervous or, you know, there's been lots of things that have been implied with him. And God's like, you are going to go to the Pharaoh and you're going to tell him, deliver my people. And he's like, me? No way. I cannot. And when he finally said, all right, I'll do it. God was able to really, change the whole trajectory of the world. And I love that he is made strong in our weakness. And so for you, you've learned just to say, okay, yes. But I'm sure in the beginning, it wasn't always obedience. Did you have a moment where you fought God a little bit or ever ran from God like Jonah did? Or were you always having that in your soul of just, yes, Lord, here I am?
There's an entire chapter in this new book that's releasing that says, it's titled, I Don't Want To. I have spent a ton of my life hearing like that still small voice directing me and me saying, yeah, I don't want to. I'll do anything but that. And actually it is the most transformative parts of my life. And it is the most like trajectory shifting moments in my life that I actually approached with God, or when God approached me, I responded with, I don't want to, I'll do anything but that. Mm. And for me, it has been that journey, and that defiance is because of my own self-sufficiency. Mm. And I want to be in control.
Oh yeah.
And even in my mind, though, you know, I'm a church kid. I grew up in church. I've had incredible encounters with God my entire adult life. I know in my head that he knows better, that he is good, that his ways are higher than my ways, that he has a purpose and a plan for my life. And it's not to harm me, but to prosper me. I know these things, but sometimes when faced to relinquishing the control, I would prefer to depend upon myself. Like, oh, that's okay, I'll figure this one out. And so it has been a journey of God dependency, which he always proves faithful. It is always Ephesians 3:20 in my life. And he ends up doing exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond whatever I hope, ask, and imagine. Always. He has never failed, because the Bible says he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he would deny his promises. He fulfills, he delivers. It just bucks up against what I can see, what I know, what I can feel, and what like actually makes sense to me, which is why the subtitle of like the tagline of my book is creating a significant life when the way is unexpected, unwanted, and unknown, because that is what I've had to face over and over and over again, just like you and just like everyone listening. It's that's what we're bumped up against. And we get a choice. We get a choice in those moments to do something different. And different is surrender. I believe that a significant life is simply a surrendered life. And it is surrendering to the goodness of God. It just often feels scary because we can't totally see it.
Right.
And yeah. So yeah, no, it's not been like a, you know, one and done, or, oh yeah, this is just how I've lived my best life, girl. No, this has been years.
Yeah.
Me. And now it has become a little more of a habit. Now it is a little like you kind of build your faith. You build your faith, and you're like, and you have all these little Ebenezer moments, these altar moments that you're like, okay, he did it before, he'll do it again.
Yeah.
Send, write, share, whatever it is that he's asking of you.
And it's really countercultural to let go of that control. And as a woman, we're raised from birth to, you know, we don't need no man, and we can do it and be strong and, you know, be in control of your life and take what's yours. And we're literally groomed in this culture to do things on our own. And we're shown as weak if we depend on someone else. And then our life has shown that we can't depend on anybody. We can't trust anyone. Everyone will let us down. So just, you know, you do you. And so it's so hard to unlearn those things that we've learned. And especially if you've had trauma or anything growing up that made that really come alive in you. And that's why it's so important to be around community. You need to be around women that are speaking this truth, and not only speaking it, but they're living out this every single day. And you can see how their marriage is different because they've given it to God. And you can see how their parenting is different because they've given it to God. And you can see the strength in the weakness by letting go and letting God and trusting in him and really seeing him transform your life. So you have a community that you've created that people can plug into, right? Tell me more about that.
Yes. Yeah, so it's called the Significant Sisterhood. And I could just not agree with you more on the things that you're saying as you were even talking. There's this concept of I've got this. I mean, even in our social media society, I mean, how many hashtags are like boss babe and, and I mean, I'm here for all of it. I do think that we should lead and we should live out loud. And Let our lights shine brightly and show. I think we should show off the goodness of God, but that's exactly the point. It's the goodness of God.
Yeah.
And it is what he, greater is he that's in me than he that's in all of the world. And to say that I am able to do this in my own strength would just be an outright lie.
Yeah.
Because there are many days that I don't got this, that I don't got this. There was moments in writing that it was like, oh, you know, you feel stumped and you're just like, Lord, what do I say here? And then suddenly, you know, you feel a thought or a flurry of like a story or something comes to your mind. And I just believe that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because I like, yeah, yeah. So yes and amen. All that you were saying about our lives being led by the Lord and him enabling so much of empowering what we actually get to do to show his glory. So the sisterhood I created because I just believe life change happens in circles. And yeah. Do not get me wrong, I love a great big event. I think events are fun. I have a conference. I think that they are incredible for inspiration. They're a great place for people to use their gifts and come together. A wonderful opportunity for others to hear an incredible message. But it is within a circle that action usually can take place. It's within a smaller gathering and a community that iron sharpen iron, you know, one-on-one or even just like group. Like my sisterhood is, it's a group of women that where people feel safer to be vulnerable. And we do have to be vulnerable to transform because behavior modification is not where it's at. Like we can't just like behavior modify. That will only take us far. What has to happen is a true transformation in our heart. And oftentimes that happens in deeper connections, in circles, in community, where we can process what's going on, where we can hear somebody else say, me too. Mm. And you suddenly feel less alone. And I know that God uses, I mean, we're created for each other. So he uses the one another in so many ways to be healed, right? Confess your sins to one another and you will be healed. He uses one another to carry each other's burdens. And in this, you fulfill the law of Christ. And I firmly believe that relationships are so powerful because God gave them to us and they can be very, a lot of it is trauma in our life. You referred to trauma happens because of relationships, but what is broken in relationships is also restored in relationships. So we have to continue to connect in relationship. And also we fulfill our purposes. You cannot fulfill your calling alone. Calling happens in connection because God has called us to serve one another. So community is also where you end up fulfilling your purposes and the promises of God occur in your life and in the life of others. So I'm pretty passionate about that. About community. It's actually a whole section in my book in how to create it, why it matters, and what steps to take next.
Yeah, because a lot of us live in towns where there's not a lot of people around, or maybe there's too many people around and you don't know where to get plugged in, or you're just too busy. You know, I heard a quote recently by Priscilla Shire, and she says, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And I have lived that, you know, that busy, that hustle. And so many people don't have time for community. And I love the idea of an online community that you can be a part of because you can do it on your own time. And, you know, people spend 8 hours a day on their phone anyway. So you have time to do this. And how can people get plugged into your community?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I mean, a starting point is Facebook, though I prefer Instagram. Instagram's more fun for me, but Facebook, we connected on Instagram, but Facebook, you can kind of be a starting point for at least people to get connected. But then I actually host I do host an online conference I use the term loosely because it's actually a little more interactive. And then I host like monthly meetups online. Mm-hmm. But it is, the starting point would be the Significant Sisterhood in the Facebook group. And then from there, you get all the info to how to then connect to some of the monthly meetups and mentoring sessions and like connections, circles. I create just different circles, and it's always a place for feedback. Because while I know that we need to hear and learn and grow and have like little nuggets of truth deposited in us, and we start with that, but then it's like connection is going to happen by you actually sharing and talking with one another. So I also always provide a space for us to actually get to know one another. And then I do provide some in-person type retreat style things. Because you do connect, and then you're just like, oh, I wouldn't mind giving you an actual hug and tangibly hanging out. Right. So some of those things are up and coming, but you can start with the Facebook group, and that's a great place to launch from there.
That's awesome. So yeah, if you're listening to this and you felt like you've been in a season of isolation, or you're just craving that community, or you need to change out your community. I mean, let's be honest, a lot of our families and closest friends, they're not really doing us a whole lot of good. And although we need those people in our lives, we need to be in a place to be in there. And God says to go into the world, but we need to influence the world, not let the world influence us. And so when you're just starting out thinking, okay, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to live abundantly. I'm going to connect with God. I'm going to do things differently. And he slowly starts changing you. You really can't change if you're still in the same circle that you used to run with, where everyone's overcritical and negative and drinking and smoking and gossiping. And it just, the worldly advice isn't going to get you very far, because chances are it's completely opposite of what the advice is that you need to hear to change things. And especially if you're going through hardships, or you're going through things that are all of a sudden your life is just flipped upside down. You're, like you said in your book, the unexpected, the unwanted, the unknown. When you're going through that, it's so lonely. And I love that you said Me Too, because I love the Me Too movement. I think people just truly need to hear Me Too. And that immediately is like, oh, thank God. Like, thank God someone else knows what I'm going through. And I want to ask you, so what inspired you to write your book on this topic? So God said, write the book, but what did you go through to even come up with the information that you wrote in your book?
So divine means from God. I mean, if you look up the definition of divine, it actually, I mean, there's going to be a few that follow, but the top definition is from God. And, the last decade of my life has been very different than what I expected it to be. And so the writings of the book and the actual title came from me accepting that different is good, that it is actually from God. Mm-hmm. And it's just not the ways of this world. Mm-hmm. And it's just not always what we anticipate. It's just not what we always figure out. And I think the greatest gift God gave me was 19 years ago. And it was different. It was different than what I saw other moms hold. It was different than what I had planned for my family. Because the birth diagnosis of my first daughter, who has Down syndrome, is different. And that was really the beginning of my journey. That was like, okay, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Mm-hmm. So this is from God, but man, oh man, it's so different even than maybe what I would have wanted. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord began to show me what is worthy, what he values, that flipped my world upside down as far as my priorities and giving me more of an internal perspective. And that's really where it began. But then the last decade, so then I'm moving and grooving in life. And we're like, oh, okay, I get you, God. And then we're sort of on this uphill, like life starts kind of going up and to the right. It's like, oh, okay, I got this. I get what you were doing. And so honestly, things fine. And then I hit another massive trajectory shift in our life. And I start the book there, which is over the last decade. And my husband was actually let go unexpectedly and unwanted from the life that I thought was going to be like our legacy. And there was no room for him anymore where we were at, which, you know, now I've got these like early elementary kids. My oldest daughter with Down syndrome is very plugged in. So I'm like, no, 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 no. This has to be the path. Like there can be nothing else. But, and then we end up moving to the city. I end up going to government offices. Like we've never had massive financial issues. And all of a sudden we have nothing, no income, everything, like just the rug ripped out from underneath of you in so many ways. And then the Lord begins to ask me to do a bunch of things that I don't want to. That I'm like, nope, did not sign up for this. Are you kidding me? I mean, why would you even think that I would want to do that? And just really feeling like, oh, we're jumping off of a cliff with four kids in tow, and we don't really want to jump. In other words, I feel like, God, you're actually pushing me off of this cliff. And I kind of had a little bit of a toddler moment. And again, this is a decade ago. And so now I'm glad that he didn't ask me to write the book then, because I would have been sharing from wounds, not scars. Now there's this decade of, oh, all these I don't want tos, all these things that felt like he was being mean was actually him being so kind, and learning to just listen to Jesus and do what he says, because he continued in the midst of my surrender, like, I don't want to, but okay, I will, right? Not my will, but yours be done. And getting okay with that, because even Jesus himself did that to the Father. Like, okay, not my will, but yours be done. He did things he didn't want to. And me going, okay, all right. Like, this is the path. This is divinely different. And this is what significant means. And I learned also over the decade, I had my identity rooted and connected to things that were so external. Mm-hmm. So as he stripped those things, all of that stuff that got stripped, I began to go, oh, well, then who am I without these titles, without all these hats, without this recognition, without this job, without this home, without this community? I mean, you talk about community, boy, I lost my entire community. Without it, who am I? And I began to go like, oh, I found freedom. I found freedom. And I found an end to hustle and striving and into wholeness and freedom. And an assurance that he's got this. I don't, he does. And that I can continue to trust him. It just looks a lot different, but it is actually, I mean, it's so cliche, but it is actually better. I just didn't think it was going to be. And even along the way, I didn't always trust that it would be, but I just kept stepping. Mm-hmm. I just kept stepping one foot in front of the other. And the faithfulness, the faith increased as I was like, oh, you did it again. Okay. You proved it again. So now I'm writing about it. Mm-hmm. Cause now I see.
That's powerful that you said that you weren't ready to write it back then, because you would have been sharing from wounds and that scars. And I did a podcast a few months ago, probably a year ago now, and it's called The Gift of Procrastination, because so many of us hear this word from God, this idea, this vision, where you see something and you know something big's coming and you feel it and God spoke to you, but you're just not doing it yet. The steps aren't coming, the ideas, the people, you feel like it's just not happening. And a lot of people feel so much frustration. Like, I want to do a course. I want to write a book. I want to start that business. I want to, you know, do all of these things, but it's just not coming. And my thought is that if you're meant to do it, it's going to just happen. You know, God doesn't really need you to say yes. He waits, you know, but he'll push you off the cliff if he's like, okay, time's up. Like, let's go. You know, job's gone. This is happening. He is so patient, but if he wants something to happen, he will make sure it happens. And that's that control again of, why isn't this happening? And I want this to work, and I want this book to come, and just waiting and realizing that God's just going to put it in your lap. The timing might just not be right now. You might start the business down the road, but it's not going to happen right now. And that's okay, because you need to learn, you need to grow, you need to heal. and transform to be able to share that story and really build that trust. You know, because over time you see God show up and answer and you are like, okay, that wasn't so bad. He is so good and his ways are better than mine. And then you do it again and oh, look at that. He provided again and he showed up again. And so over and over and over, then that's when your trust really gets built and people look at you thinking, you have so much trust. You're so obedient. That's amazing. I wish I could be like that. But what they don't see is when you first started this and how hard it was in the beginning. And really it's taking that one step, that next thing that you need to do. And that over time will build the trust. And then the story's birthed out of the mess, you know, into the message.
Yes.
And that's transformative.
Well, waiting is different. It's so countercultural. We don't wait for any, we don't have to wait for anything. Even if we have to wait for a, like too long for our coffee at the, in the drive-through that we're not even having to get out of our car for, we're just like, what is going on? What is going on? I actually, just yesterday was in the Starbucks drive-through and it was actually a longer wait. I was like, wow, what is happening? What is it? I mean, my mind was like, what is the person in front of me? What did they order? But what was so funny is I get there and they hand me my coffee and they're like, thank you so much for waiting. This one's on us. So I was like, okay, well, I'm not crazy. I did have to wait. But I was like, oh my goodness. I really, maybe 5 minutes. Where, you know, you're used to getting it in 30 seconds. And I think I thought, oh, this poor barista that's serving me, they like, no, we better give away free. I mean, it's good customer service, but also we better give away free coffee because somebody has to wait 5 minutes and they're going to lose their mind and they're going to Yelp review and call corporate. Because don't wait.
Yeah.
Don't wait. But the Bible, what does the Bible says? The Bible says in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will soar on wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I want to soar. I want to walk and not get exhausted. I want my strength renewed. That promise comes from waiting. So you are so right. And I love how you said gift of procrastination, because we do. We want it. We want it right here, right now, and our way.
And if we don't get it, we immediately think there's something wrong with us.
Oh, 100%.
Why can't I do this? I need to push myself to do this. I need to be more disciplined. I need to, and all we do is just beat ourselves up, which is exactly what the devil wants us to do. He's like, oh, perfect. She's spinning out of control and just focusing on herself. This is exactly what I want. You know, the devil doesn't have to destroy us like he did with Job and strip everything away and do all these things. He just needs to make us busy. He needs to think that we're not worth it. We're not good enough. God doesn't love us. Our way's better. That's it. And then he wins, because we never can step into our calling when we're focused on that.
Right.
And that's why in my book, The Valley is a beautiful place. There's beauty in the breakdown. Well, you're going through it. Of course, it doesn't feel beautiful. It feels awful and terrible and it hurts. And you can't wait to get out of it and you feel desperate. But in that desperation, that's where so many of us meet our purpose and we realize what we were created to do. And so if things are feeling bad, it's really just this beautiful blessing of something's out of alignment and let go of control. I'm going to get you out of this valley, because then when you're on the peak, that's when you can see everything for what it is. That's when you can say, hey, I made it to the top. Grab my hand. I'll pull you up. I know a shortcut. Let me throw you a bridge. Walk this way. And just like the Bible says, there's so much more purpose when we're with other people. And when we take the focus off of ourselves and we're able to help someone else in their struggle, you know, that's really where you come to life and you realize, wow, that was so worth it. If I can help another mom, if I can help another person get through this hard time where they feel all alone, they're scared. And by your mess and what you go through, you now can relate to other people in a way that someone who hasn't gone through it can't relate. Right. You're like, oh, you're going through that? I'll pray for you. You know, which is great. We want to pray for each other, but how much better is it to say, come on, let me help you. Let me tell you the books I read. Let me tell you the prayers I've read. Let me tell you the groups I've been in, the counseling, the you know, to give them all of your stuff. It's just, it's beautiful to be able to help other people. And it's really like, once you're healed, you're going into the fire and just plucking other people out. Like, I'm not going to let you stay there. Not on my watch. I'm pulling you out of the fire. And I'm going to show you that whatever you're going through is actually a blessing. And it's going to be a huge moment in your life to be able to do what you've been called to do.
Love it.
I just love what you're doing. I think that it's so incredible. These conferences, the Significant Conference, is that an in-person conference or is that your online one?
It was in person. And then when, obviously, you know, in 2020, my last live one was 2019. And then in 2020, I was like, well, let's go online. And I've been doing other things online through business and stuff. So I was like, we can do this. And it continued to be online because it enabled more people to have access.
Yeah.
More voices could share and people could connect. So I am this year going to do like an in-person retreat, but not conference. And the the Significant continues to be an online offer because I think we need in-person community. Do not get me wrong. There is nothing that replaces sitting face-to-face across a coffee table from a person or gathering toes under the table. I'm big on that. I love it. But sometimes we need to have access in a way, per your point about living in a small town or not having access to the people that you would love to like grow with and connect to. And so I continue to do online offers for people to connect in the Significant group. And then I'll do an in-person retreat this year. This will be the first year that I have done that in a while. And it'll just be a retreat, much smaller format so that we can connect in circles.
Mm. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just adapt.
A little bit. Well, and for like the Lord continues to evolve in me and continues to like have me like, I sometimes feel like following Jesus and fulfilling the call that he has on all of our lives. And I do think we can do it with incredible confidence that he's got this. And so we can walk worthy of the calling. We can hold our head up high, but it is a little bit like bowling with the gutters up. It's like there is a target. There's those pins that is God is going to do that. He's going to fulfill that. He wants you to get a strike, but the journey to getting there is bowling with the gutters up. You roll the ball and it's a little ping here. Oh, we're going to ping over here. Oh, we're going to. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the beauty and that's the experience of all. And so, yeah, even as I have been following him for now a decade of even doing the Significant Conference and Significant Life groups and having a Significant Sisterhood for, you know, that first place of entry, it continues to take new shape. So this year will be the first retreat that I'm going to do and I'm excited about it.
Mm, that is amazing. And people can find that information on the Facebook group.
Yep. Facebook group. And then I also share all about it in Instagram. And then as it gets closer for registrations and stuff like that, it'll be on her website.
Yeah. Her Instagram is at JenJones4. Everyone needs to follow her so you can stay up to date on everything that she is offering here. I really love the idea of pivoting and changing because so many people feel like, oh, the plan's changing again. You know, now I'm doing this and it was writing a book, but now it's a podcast or it was a retreat and now it's a like people think that that's a bad thing. And it's actually a good thing. You're walking down the path. You're stepping and pivoting and stepping and pivoting. And that's what it is. And when you look at successful businesses, that's what you see too. I love that Amazon didn't start as the Amazon that we know it today. Amazon started as an online bookstore. And then they started pivoting and moving and putting stuff out and realizing, hey, we should do this instead. And we should do this. And that's really what it's like when you're finding your calling is you just have to say yes and do the next thing. It's like getting involved in ministry. People sit there for so long, like, I don't know what ministry to get involved in. Should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do that? It's like, just say yes to something. And then that will lead you to the next thing. Just say yes. God will do it.
And that is where growth occurs. That's part of the adventure and how we grow, because we can kind of get comfortable like just doing the same thing over and over. So then we become self-reliant, and God's like, oh, let's get uncomfortable and do this. Depend on me again. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that it is a beautiful thing for it to evolve and shift. And it's always usually in alignment with what God has called you to do. It just might take different forms and different seasons. And if something, I used to think ending something was failure, but I've learned for something new to begin, maybe something old has to end. And so you make those shifts and allow God to do what he wants to do in and through you as a result.
Especially if it's something that we don't want, like leaving a job or, you know, losing a job, actually, things like that. Like it wasn't because I wanted to do it. It just happened to me. And a lot of times that we can see after the fact how God was in that, but during, it's hard. But, you know, usually if something's happening and you don't want it to happen, it's like, okay, what's going on here? You know, what is God showing me? Yeah. I just love that. It's been such an honor to talk to you about this and your story. And I would love to have you on again and talk more about when your retreat's coming up and what people can expect from that. I know that I have a lot of people that listen to this podcast that are interested in retreats. And we have big dreams one day of doing a retreat. And everyone's just waiting, like, tell me about a retreat. We need to get together. We need to hug in real life. And so as that approaches, do you have a date for that yet or not?
Well, we have a venue and we have a couple of dates in the work. It will be fall. It will be fall. So okay. It's coming soon. So all the details will be coming soon. It will be in the fall. And I'm big on collaboration. It's again, cliche, but I do believe that we are better together. And so, yeah, you and I are going to have lots of conversations. I have a feeling on the mic and off. I think it's great to connect with each other and get our, and I believe that I want my people to know your people and your people to know my people. And I think that that's just how us women should be until we find our people.
Yeah. I just want to say this one last thing. I want to be vulnerable and share with everyone listening to this that, you know, one of my prayers all the time is connect me to my soul sisters, connect me to people who are like-minded, who I'm just supposed to be with. And I pray that every single day, constantly. Since I started praying that, God has just flooded me with friends and soul sisters, people that I feel we are connected, like instant best friends, and we know each other so well. And sometimes we pray for things and then God's answering the prayer and we actually block the prayer. So for me, it's fear of interviewing people on the podcast. Like, I don't know what I'm going to say and how is it going to go? And what if they don't think it's good enough? And what if I miss something? And, you know, in my head, just all of these things and don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And talking myself out of it. And I really, truly feel like even the scriptures that you've quoted are scriptures that have been very relevant to my life, things that keep coming into my mind, stories and things where I'm like, I can't believe she just said that. And I really feel like this connection was divine and meant to happen. And so this is definitely an answer to prayer, but I almost blocked it. Even today, leading up to recording this, I woke up and the first thing in my head is like, oh, that interview's today. I'm like, it's okay. God, you got this. And I just relied on him all morning. I prayed on my way to school. I prayed on the way home. I kept praying. Nope, devil, you're not going to get in my head. You're not going to block this. Of course, you don't want me to talk to this person. Of course, you don't want God's love to get out. And it really was a struggle for me to do this. And whoever is out there right now listening and you feel like God's been telling you to do something, but it's the fear that's holding you back, or you're looking at your own self-sufficiency thinking, I can't do that, not me. This is your sign to do it, because God wants you to be in your calling and in your purpose. And if you don't say yes and take that next step, then he can't do that for you. And if you're miserable and unfulfilled and stressed out and burnt out and depressed and anxious and you're coping and you're trying to do all the things to fill that void in your soul, God wants to fill that. And nothing will satisfy like Jesus. We know that. And it can only be fulfilled by Him. The reason why nothing of this world is satisfying us is because we're not created to be satisfied by things of this world. You know, we're only created to be satisfied by Him and to be walking in that purpose and that calling. And you want it. The reason why you're listening to this podcast is because you know you're made for more. You know there's something big coming up and you need to do it. So this is your sign to just say yes. Like, let go of fear. Don't let the devil get in your ear. Pray for protection. Pray that no unwholesome or impure thoughts enter your mind. And say yes. You know, we're saying yes, even though we're scared. We're doing this and we are scared, but we're saying yes. It's not like it's easy for us. It's still hard to let go of that control and just to trust in God. So I really believe that this is a divine connection. And I love that you're doing retreats. And now I will see you one day in real life.
Here we go. So, thank you for sharing that. And I have been the last 45 minutes or however long we've been talking going, man, this is so easy. She's so great. I'm loving this conversation. Wow. We are truly like, I know we have our individual purposes that we are fulfilling and the people that we are called to, but I'm like, yeah, we have the same heart about so much and the same foundation of faith.
Yes.
Oh, isn't that wild? Because that's what's been going through my mind the entire time we've been having this conversation is this is a great connection. And I'm so honored that you enabled me to come on. I sort of invited myself, but I'm
thank
so
you. It was really God.
Beyond. I know.
It was God pushing you to me. He's like, you won't put people on? All right, here we go.
Thank you.
So, okay, this is the first of many interviews of podcasts and the first of many interviews with Jen. And so thank you, Jen, so much for your time. And below of this podcast in the details, the description, I'll include her website, her book website, her Instagram, her Facebook, and the Facebook community. So you can reach out to her and get more of her as it goes on. So thank you. Thank you for waking up with me today and setting your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And I pray that God leads you and guides you to your promised land and your fear and your worry and your doubt all wash away. If you are stuck in the valley and you are feeling hopeless and helpless, please download my 5 Steps to Hope Valley Guide that will tell you step by step by step how to get out of the valley and to stay out of the valley. You can find that on the link on my Instagram, as well as tons of other free tools, prayers, printouts for your identity, and to get my favorite list of books, devotions for adults and for kids. Also learn my favorite accountability software that I use for my kids and check out my favorite must-watch sermons if you're in the valley. Thank you. God bless.